Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hastings-born comedian Trygve Wakenshaw is known for his sharp and playful physical comedy. He's a Kiwi, but he's now based in Prague with his family. Interestingly, he's a clown school graduate. He's back in the country and about to hit the road for two tours. And he's here to tell us about two different shows, Different Party and Nautilus. He's with me in the Auckland studio. Hi.
Hi.
Nice Hello. To see you. How's Prague?
Beautiful. Springtime currently, so it's been quite a shift to come to New Zealand autumn. Although I must say it is beautiful here at the moment.
Why did you end up there?
Look, it was just an accident, really. I wanted to live in Europe. Somewhere, tried living in London, it was incredibly expensive, had a first child, realised that I didn't really want my kid growing up here in the middle of London,
yeah.
And so just started shopping around for different countries and settled on Prague because I'd been to do a show at a theatre there and I'd mentioned it to the theatre owner,
yeah.
who said, you know, if you move to Prague, you'll always have a theatre you can be in here. And yeah, and I was like, okay, well, we'll take a chance on that and see what happens. And then we've been there for 7 years now, and yeah, and it's perfect. Yeah, it's a really nice place.
And you do get to gig a fair bit?
No, surprisingly not. I mean, when we first went there, I had, yeah, it was all like touring out of Prague.
Mm.
And still that's the case, really. I'm getting more and more involved in the theatre scene there, but a lot of the work is across in Germany, UK, a little bit in Spain. It's, yeah, I sort of live in Prague and work across the rest
of
Europe.
Is that your baby in our control room?
Yeah.
Your boy? Oh,
yeah, he's operating the sound. He's doing a great job.
Yeah. No, he's wearing a Spider-Man outfit too, so he must be around my child's age. He's about five?
Yeah, he's four. He'll be five in October.
Oh, how cool. They'd get on great. My boy refuses to wear anything that doesn't have Spider-Man on it.
Oh, great.
Total obsession.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got three Spider-Man costumes, and you have to make sure he has the right one that he wants.
Yeah. And then Christmas comes around, everyone gives him Spider-Man gear, and you're like, the kid has enough Spider-Man gear,
yeah,
everyone.
But so easy to shop for.
It is, yeah. Tell me about Different Party.
Different Party is a really hilarious show that I made with Barney Duncan, who I've collaborated with and been friends with for many, many years. We've made lots of shows together. And so Different Party was this kind of reunion show. I'd been off making solo shows that had some success. He'd been off making some solo shows that had some success. And we hadn't worked together for a while. And yeah, and so making Different Party was a real excuse to get back together. Super fun to make. Yeah, and then has had this extraordinarily fun life of touring around. The situation is basically we didn't know what it was like to have actual jobs, like in an office.
Yeah.
Because no one can explain what you do if you work in an office. You're just kind of...
Well, I can tell you it's about 10% doing what you're hired to do and about 90% answering emails and dealing with personalities and...
Oh,
you know,
great.
All the weird stuff.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what the show is.
It's
us in that 90% doing, it's like a flight of fancy of what we imagine life in an office is like.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you get feedback afterwards from actual office workers saying you nailed it or what are you guys on?
Yeah, surprisingly, it hits home for a lot of people. Just the absurdity of the everyday goings on of life in an office.
It's a bit like waiting for Godot set in a open plan environment. And not much dialogue, correct?
And not a lot, but some. And when it hits, it is very good. There's enough. It's two guys trying to sell some leather interiors. You know, do some filing, do some paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I imagine the less dialogue there was, the easier it would be for you to tour around Europe, for example.
Yeah. Yes, that is what we thought. And then we went and did some shows in Germany, and they were really awkward. They didn't get the same, like, punch and laughs. Yeah. And I think what was happening was there was enough just physical action for theatres to go, great, everyone will understand this. But there was enough dialogue for the audience to kind of think, because it's quite absurd, and Germans like logic, they would assume that we must have set up in our English language words at some point the reason that we have now turned into pigeons with stationery on our face.
Yeah. They're waiting for the explanation.
Yeah, so they feel like they're missing something, and it makes the laughter just a little bit less.
Okay.
But,
so that's different party, and if you were looking for something to go to with some workmates, that might be quite a good one.
Very good one.
And then how about this other show you're doing, which is called Nautilus?
Nautilus was the third solo show that I made in this sort of underwater trilogy, which started with Squid Boy, went to Kraken, for which I won the Fred Award.
You did, yeah.
Some years ago.
It, well, 2014, that was a huge year for you, right? You had won all sorts of awards in Europe as well.
Yeah, yeah. I was absolutely just killing it.
Yeah. So this is along the same line.
Yeah, and then Nautilus was, the third one of that trilogy. It's a lot more easy to take in. It's more or less like kind of mime sketches that then sort of loop back onto each other and silly characters and physical absurdity.
Yeah, and it's not like a stand-up show where you can imagine a stand-up at a cafe writing jokes, scribbling out words, like something else. How do you, and what is your writing process?
A lot of it was, I'd have a couple of ideas and then I'd just try things out in front of the audience. So that show was built in front of Australian audiences. I'd kind of just go on stage, I'd try and be hilarious for an hour. Things that work.
With how much of a plan?
At the beginning, let's call it a generous 10% of a plan.
Gosh, that is courage, man.
Yeah. It was also mildly soul-destroying.
Particularly in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, it did shape.
Where they're tremendously uncouth.
Yeah. I don't know, it wasn't too bad. It was pretty supportive because when you're in that situation, you've got a lot of other comedians and artists coming to see it, and they're a lot more generous and they're really interested in watching the process happen in front of them. And then it got to a stage where it had success and reviewers would see it and they'd be like, hey, everyone, you should go and see the show. So at that point, it's cool because it opens up. But before then, I never had too much problem. The biggest problem is, once you start getting awards and people that have no interest in mime comedy start coming to see the show and they're like, this is not what I want. that was certainly for Kraken. Nautilus is pretty accessible.
Do you get nervous?
Sometimes I get really nervous and I don't know what it is. Maybe it'll be like a new venue or something. Mm. Or maybe I'll know someone that's coming to see the show that night and I'll get super nervous about it. But that always passes. As soon as you go on stage, it all goes away. It's just this really tense kind of 15 minutes before. As you can hear the audience coming in and there's no backing out of it now.
When you've done a show over and over again, what is your brain doing during a show?
Oh, I think I'm having fun inside the show. A lot of listening for laughter that I haven't heard before, and I can kind of follow that. Like if I get a sense that they're really enjoying the silliness of a way a character walks, then I can extend on that and have a look around, see if there's some extra jokes I've not found before in it.
Love that.
Yeah. Very cool. So it's still, it still evolves. It's settled, but there's always room for evolution in it.
What is clown school like?
This one was quite brutal. It's this guy, Philippe Goliere, who's very old now. I think he's 80-something. And has a reputation for being quite cruel in his assessment of how you performed. For me, I was cool. I'm fine with it. If someone's like, I didn't get hurt because I knew that what he was saying is that thing that you just performed was awful and no one ever wants to see anything like that, and you have hurt us by doing that as a performance.
But you're in such a stage of vulnerability, man. He's given you an exercise. You try your best in a very, very high-risk situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be surprising to some people that you would get anything other than complete warm support.
Yeah. No, none of that is forthcoming. If it isn't 100% something beautiful, he does not give you anything. But, you know, that's probably where I got a lot of the courage to do this. You know, the way of building a show in front of an audience, like, it's fine to fail, you know. People do it all the time. So it's just theatre, so you're not going to actually die.
the actor Antonia Preble did a course this...
She went...
And she performed for him, and he told her that she made him want to turn gay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got
does that track?
Great lines. Yeah. Yeah, like, it's almost like he has a deep history of world, a deep knowledge of world history, just so he can spike some, like, different nationalities study with him. You know?
Well, you've been through the hard stuff,
yeah.
And now you get to celebrate your success and experience some joy on stage, and thanks for the joy that you've brought audiences here and around the world. Have a great season.
Thanks very much.
Two seasons. Trigvi Wakenshaw, who performs two shows in the New Zealand International Comedy Festival, Different Party, which is a two-hander, and Nautilus, which is part of a series you may have seen before if you've watched Trigvi on stage.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.